Let me say Merry Christmas still. Did you know it's still Christmas? We got 6 days left. And the celebration, the ancient celebration, doesn't complete until we remember the Magi who came when Jesus was about 2 years old. And on page 3, we'll make some reference to them. But now let us pray. Lord, you've called each of us to be here today, and we've said we'll be here. Now, free our listening. Free us, free our souls from distraction. And let us really consider how to claim your kind of new year, your truly happy new year. In Jesus' name, amen. Now on the front you see probably my favorite song. It'll be sung at my memorial service if they do it right. It's a wonderful song at Christmas, but also it's a song for all times of the year. And I'm not sure, are you getting ready to sing?
No.
You're just finding your notes.
Paperwork.
Oh, paperwork will always get you. Okay. But when serving a church, I always sang this a couple times a year. Because this is an always, everyday Christian declaration and song, and something the Holy Spirit can use in us. You know, when our souls get cluttered, we need to sing or let the angels sing for us. You've heard me refer to that, how that's been useful to me. But the first part of a formula for a truly happy new year is found on page 2, the inside left, inside of the cover on the left side. Celebrate God all day, every day. That's the first step to have a truly happy new year. Eugene Peterson well expresses Paul's sentiment when he says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet, you're on their side. So if in doubt, or your year starts to turn dark, celebrate God. Find a quality song of praise and let it lift your spirit. As we've said before, the book of Psalms, every single one of the 150 Psalms either says hallelujah or makes reference to the concept of praising God. In this dynamic translation of Philippians 4, Peterson said, don't fret or worry. That's wasted energy. But rather, when we praise, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Or in order to praise, we need to exile the spirit of darkness. And as we go into a new year, we need to do two related things. If you haven't already, take out a piece of paper or use this worksheet. Make a list of at least 10 gifts you've received from God, some gifts this congregation has received from God, some gifts the world has received from God this year. Declare them. Now you can also note troubles. But name the joys and celebrations first. And then celebrate, because celebrating God dispels the prince of darkness, the great deceiver, from our presence. Again, Paul and Peterson say this: you'll be best to meditate, third paragraph says, meditate on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. Meditate on the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. And then put them into practice. So celebration involves uttering praise, living with thanksgiving, but then there's this phrase, put them into practice. On the right-hand side there, we have the entirety of the second chapter of Matthew. How many here enjoy the fun, the celebrations of Christmastide, the happiness? Everybody? Only one person raised their hand. Let's try again. How many of you enjoy Christmastide? Okay. But we need to take seriously the way the second chapter ends. But let's look at the first part to prepare. The Magi, that's the Greek word, meaning wise men who advised kings and royalty, had been called to give praise and gifts to God's king, new king of Israel. And that's what they focused on. They used all the gifts, everything they knew, and somehow, while other people couldn't recognize what was going on, they came to Jesus' birthplace, the area, the vicinity. Now, what are we going to do if we need help? We go to the government, right? I think there was one guy who said, though, watch out, one of the most dangerous things in the world is when a guy knocks on your door and says, hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. Although government rightfully helps a lot of people in a lot of wonderful ways. But let's come back here. And he came to Herod. As we go through this, how many have heard about King Herod and know that he's evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty? Not everybody, but a lot of you. Okay. How many of you know Herod was a very effective and powerful administrator who developed public works and ports and buildings and commerce throughout the four parts of what we now know as Israel? He achieved great things, but he achieved them by exploiting Roman power, using his own power, and corrupting power with cruelty. That's the other part we know about him. And in many ways, it's so sad. What he's remembered for are the cruelties, and he should. But Herod had enough sense that when he was asked where the king of the Jews was to be born, he consulted the scribes, that is, the experts on Holy Scripture, and they told him Bethlehem. He sent the Magi on their way. And then he said, but when you find the baby, let me know where he is. I want to give him gifts. They went and they gave the baby Jesus gifts that they had brought with them through hundreds of miles of travel. They knew nothing about the rest of his life. We know nothing about the rest of this year. But God has sent us gifts and is preparing us gifts for the year. But of course, we have to use the gifts and learn to use the gifts. We'll come back to that. And we all, I think, know how the wise men came bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, by the way, I was excited about preaching today because I knew you'd be here. And I knew there'd probably be a lot of people who aren't here. Some of them are devoted, but a lot of them are more casual. So I'm preaching today to people who are serious about wanting to follow God and serve God and find a truly happy new year. They celebrated with the family and this little baby or toddler. But then being warned in a dream about Herod, they went home another way. Are your dreams open to God? When darkness enters into them, do you say, "Be gone, Satan"? Or do you say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner"? Or, "Come, Holy Spirit"? They were purified in their dreams. They were warned. And then what did they do about the warning? Get up in the morning and say, "Gee, I think we ate some bad food last night." No. They had learned to recognize God's leadership, and they followed it. But they also knew there were only so many ways back home. Herod had ordered them to come to him, and he didn't. They knew there was risk at that. The powers that be, they were at risk from the powers that be. But they went home another way. Then Joseph was warned of the dangers from Herod to come in a dream and told to flee to Egypt, and that's where he went and remained there until the death of Herod. But Herod did his deed. Herod maintained power through lies and corruption. And he sent a delegation to kill all the babies under 2 years old because he figured that out from the wise men. He was a pretty canny guy. Slaughtered them. And whether that was 5 or 10 or a couple of dozen, we don't know for sure, but we know the agony. The agony predicted by Jeremiah that a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentations. When we celebrate God, we commit to him. The second step, though, is pray for revival. Open yourself in prayer. Now, I'm very privileged to be married to a author with many fans, has her daily message sends out. And if you don't know about Diane's little daily message, let her know. She'll add you to the list. And she told the people on her list the other day, Anne Graham Lotz puts it this way: the key to revival is repentance. The key to revival is repentance. Key to repentance is prayer. Not prayer that preaches at other people, but prayer that comes out of our own hearts, broken with our sin. If you go to the fourth page, up at the top is quote from 2 Chronicles 7. And I urge you to circle that, and I urge you to read the whole thing for yourself, or the whole paragraph, because Solomon is being told by God that God knows his people will wander. And he says, when I send on them afflictions and plagues, we don't have plagues anymore, do we? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I guess we do, or did, or, well, which is it today? Are we or aren't we in the middle of plagues? But anyway, he says, if my people, see that in the blue box? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's what Ann Graham Lotz was talking about. Humble prayer. Humble themselves and then look for the next three verbs. Pray. Seek my face. Cool. And then comes the stinger. What's the third one? Let's see if we can find that third one and read it all together. Pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. And I guess that means members of the congregation should all turn from their wicked ways. I'm glad I'm a preacher to, oh no, it doesn't work that way, does it? Begins with me confronting my own adjustments in my own life. I've had to rethink a number of things in ministry. One of them, when I was in seminary and the debates about abortion were coming on and people of integrity shared the data they had from scripture and biology, etc. And I had an individual choice attitude towards things and supported that. But then as I lived, and this is the thing about repentance. Repentance means to be open to adjustment. Some things just make me so comfortable. But they're on the path to destruction, even though I don't see it. An author has written a book talking about the fatal nature of celebrity, the fatalities of celebrity, because when you become a celebrity, I've never had that problem, but you begin to get full of yourself. We have someone here who's a very wise public official for over a decade. And I think the reason she was she was open to listening. But some people who get public power, they aren't open to reconsideration or recognizing that what they've done or were doing was wrong. One of the problems with the way, quote, the abortion issue was settled in America is instead of there being national public debate, we were told in many circles, the Supreme Court took care of it so all the legislatures and the people didn't have to deal with debate. But they did it wrong, in my opinion. Now, I'll be glad to talk in full detail about why I've changed my mind. It includes the fact that in our fellowship, extended fellowship, we have a little boy who was born at less than 5 months development, and he's now in middle school doing fine. That life was honored. Now, I know when I say this, there are people who've been involved in other opinions or taken other actions, and I know we all depend on God's healing mercy. But we need to think and rethink things. When I talk about repentance, I want us all to stop and say, where am I failing? Where do I have false idols? Just a minute, let me get a cup, drink out of my Iowa Hawkeye Victorious Champion Cup. (Clears throat) We all have our idols. We also have opinions that are ours. You know, I'm entitled to whatever I think. When you meet God and he says, why'd you do that? And you say, well, I thought it was a good idea. Do you think he's going to say, well, what'd you think I thought? Well, why should I bother with what you think? No. When we meet God, there will be no doubt. And just like an X-ray reveals parts of the body or reveals illness in us or decay in our teeth, in his presence, the total brilliance of the life will show all sin in us, all of us. Mother Teresa said to those who said, oh, I want to be just like you, a perfect saint. She said, I am not a saint. I am a great sinner. That's why I pray an hour or two every morning to deal with my sin. Part of what's happened in our culture is because we've let things go. Now again, I know I'm on thin ice, dangerous ground, glad to talk with people more about it. But also that affects our relationships, our families. It is a tremendously difficult and toxic and temptatious time to be a teenager in our culture and the degradations that have occurred. The book I refer to points out several celebrity public figures who are addicted to heroin and other things, in part because they could never get centered in God. And the bulk of our news media covers this up. So when somebody dies young, they say, oh, it's tragic when they die young. No, it's a consequence of disobedience. Doesn't mean just because you're old, like I'm going to be in 10 or 20 years, that means you have total virtue. It just means you may have gotten away with some of your sins. But we live in a culture where my gratification, my opinion, my way of doing things is what we're allowed to do. We're called to do it God's way. We're called to obey. We're called to seek forgiveness where we have previously been in error. Now let me just check something here before I go on. So, we're called to pray and seek and turn from our evil ways. Not turn them, turn ourselves. But then the world around us begins to change. Every time of great spiritual awakening and revival in American culture has ended up producing times of public reform. This isn't about politics, it's about changing us so the politics change. We're to pray, seek, and turn. And then God says, I will hear, forgive, and heal. Okay, so we pray, we celebrate God, but also we seek his face. What are you doing to seek God's face? What discipline have you been using to seek the face of God? Are you doing daily reading in scriptures? Do you have an accountability partner? The reason somebody's put a lot of books on the back table is so you can take something home and a day at a time, listen for God. That's what Ann Graham Loach said. Praying is not only about sharing our concerns with God who will hear them, but then listening for God's word. When I read scriptures, I run into things like this from 2 Timothy 4. Time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They'll have itching ears, accumulating for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. If your preacher doesn't offend you a couple times a year, I question how fully they're preaching the gospel. Oh, but we want something that's just fun. First Peter says, humble yourselves. Be sober-minded, watchful. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He's your adversary, ready to devour you. Resist him. Paul in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. How are you going to test it? How are you going to test it if you haven't read God's word? Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every kind of evil. On the back page there, I again put that little acronym for the Ten Commandments. In our public discourse, there are some media that won't tell the truth because their favorite candidate might be embarrassed. That's word abuse. That's lying. As a nation, we've grown to steal from the future. No problem paying for it. We'll just put it on the tab. But now the interest rate for the U.S. government's gone from a point to several points, and it doesn't have to stop at that. And then that'll eat Social Security surplus up even faster. And by the way, Social Security isn't an insurance program. Nobody's guaranteed anything on it. It's all dependent on future taxes. But politicians won't tell you that. And on we could go. Seek the face of the Lord. Seek truth. There's a movement of people who set their watches and their phones for 7:14 a.m. and or p.m. so that they'll keep remembering to pray, as in 2 Corinthians 7:14. Pray for revival and then do something about it. Pray for revival and then do something about it. Pick a favorite hymn. Love God, love your neighbor. On and we could go, and you know I'd love to go on and on. But it's time to take us to this table, because here's where we'll be reminded of who will carry us through all this, who pays the price for our sins, in whose fellowship we're to continue. So as we turn toward the table, the band will lead us in singing. Mike will lead us in prayer. But let's remember to have a truly happy new year. We need to celebrate God's gifts. We need to pray for revival in us and in our community and in our nation. And then we need to let God help us pick something we're going to do differently. Amen? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for coming to dwell among us full of grace and truth. Help us, O Lord, to invite you to deal with our sins and sorrows and the thickets of thorns that infest the ground. Help us invite you to rule with truth and grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.